Numbers chapter 6, beginning with verse 22, hear now the word of the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, 'The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.' So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It was a blessing this week as I and my family were able to go up to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan here and see the Tequamanon Falls once again. And what a beautiful couple days it was to be out in God's good creation. And it was a blessing to also go to Mackinac Island, and for us it was our first time there, and what a neat experience to go on. Again, being out in God's good creation on these beautiful days. I was blessed with good food and safety, with fun and exploration and good weather. And I was blessed. Christians say that word a lot, don't they? I was blessed. Well, we even hear it from non-Christians who say bless you after someone sneezes, right? And sometimes they say the whole phrase, God bless you, after somebody sneezes. But then there are these Bible verses that talk about us blessing God, like Psalm 103 that talks about us blessing God. In the King James Version, it goes like this: "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." The story goes that at one time, when people would sneeze, they would sneeze out their soul. And so people said, "God bless you," so that the devil wouldn't steal your soul. I don't know how true that really is. Another story goes that people say, "God bless you," after you sneeze because your heart stops for a second, they say. And so they say, "God bless you," so that God would get your heart again and back into rhythm. Now, I fear, though, that I've placed my life in danger a number of times when I've sneezed all by myself with no one there to bless me. But God has seen fit in his graces to bring me back each time. But it got me to thinking about that little popular word, bless, and what it means. And especially, and as a newer Christian, when I was a newer Christian, that was really one of those words like, what does it mean, bless you, God bless you? What does it mean that we bless God? Those sorts of questions were huge. I especially wonder, you know, what does it mean for me to bless God? I think I get it, that God, how God blesses me, but how do I bless God, right? So that's one of the questions I want to look at today. And so this morning we're looking at that great and that famous priestly blessing found in the book of Numbers that many of us have heard at the conclusion of a worship service, right? The Lord bless you and keep you, right? I don't go anywhere yet. It's not the end yet. So with this blessed passage of Scripture, we begin a sermon series this summer on the book of Numbers. Last summer, we looked at the book of Exodus, and there we remember God choosing Moses to lead his people out of Egypt through the Red Sea via the 10 great acts of God, the 10 plagues upon the Egyptians, to Mount Sinai, where God revealed his law and his through the 10 commandments. The tabernacle was built that God would dwell among his people. And then there more laws and regulations were given so that they would know how to live as holy people in God's holy presence. And so the book of Leviticus goes on and talks more about those laws and regulations and stipulations. And so in the stories in the book of Numbers may sound familiar to you because there's a similar pattern that happens when the people leave Mount Sinai to go to Canaan. A similar pattern to what happened when they left Egypt and got to Mount Sinai. So these stories may sound familiar to you. Numbers is a book about the in-between times. It covers between the time of reaching Mount Sinai and going to the land of Canaan. It's the in-between time between the promise that God gives them and the fulfillment of that promise. It's the in-between time of learning how to trust God in the wilderness. During difficult times of life, in times of scarcity and danger, of war and violence, it's the time of learning how to follow God according to God's ways, no matter how difficult the circumstances may be or unfavorable they may be. So when life gets hard, will you trust God to provide for you? It's a test, isn't it, for God's people? When life gets difficult, Will you reach out? Will you call out to God? Or will you reach for one of the other idols of your own culture or the nations around you? Will you be obedient to God, even when your emotions are pushing you to do something else? Instead of Numbers, the Jews refer to this book as in the wilderness. It's called In the Wilderness. The people of God are on journey with God in the wilderness. The promise has been given, but they don't see it yet. In fact, it's going to take a ton of faith to believe that God's going to come through with these promises at all, given the conditions of the wilderness, the desert experience, the desert journey that they're going through. So as we take a walk through the book of Numbers this summer, I encourage you to consider your personal walk with God. Are you in a wilderness? Have you been in the wilderness before? Have you trusted God? Or how have you failed to trust God? And what is God's calling for you now at this point in your life? How is God leading you now? One thing's for sure, wherever we go, whoever we are, wherever we're going, we need God's blessing. We need God's blessing. So first, the Lord bless you and keep you. Beginning with verse 22, it says in Numbers chapter 6, the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you." This is how you bless the Israelites. Say, the Lord bless you and keep you. In the NIV versions of the Bible, the word Lord is in all capital letters there, of course, meaning that very concrete, personal name of God, Yahweh. Not just any Lord, not just any God of or the universe or whatever that bless you and keep you. No, the Lord bless you and keep you. And I think that's emphasized here. The Lord bless you. Yahweh bless you and keep you. Aaron, this is how you bless. Well, actually, Aaron, you're not the one doing the blessing. And I think that's an important lesson of the blessing we've got here, is that God does the blessing. Let's just say it out loud. The first few chapters of Numbers are not all that interesting, especially to us modern readers. They're not interesting at all. Full of census data and how to order and arrange the tribes of Israel, including the location of the tabernacle and the priestly tribe of Levi, right? In fact, a lot of press is given to the importance of the tribe of Levi, who are to take care of the tabernacle and everything in the tabernacle, and no one else is supposed to touch that stuff, just this tribe. And so the first few chapters of Numbers tells us about the tabernacle being in the center of the community, always the center of the nation. Wherever they would camp or recamp, the tabernacle would be in the center. Then you had the tribe of Levi around it, then you had the other 12 tribes of Israel around them. And that's how they would structure their life together. God was at the center of their life, and it was supposed to be visualized there with the tabernacle. So you can imagine that either the priests may eventually get a big head and think that they're all that, or people would begin to think that it was the priests who had some magical power or authority. So the blessing that the people will need in order to move forward toward Mount Sinai, from Mount Sinai toward the promised land, is not a blessing from the priests, but a blessing from the Lord, from Yahweh. And so it begins, "The Lord bless you and keep you." But what is it to bless or to be blessed? Well, when God blesses us, we're talking about being in God's favor and God's good graces. In other words, God is doing something for you. And when he's doing something for you, he's usually doing something that you don't deserve. And so his blessing is grace to you. God is giving you something. God is blessing you with peace, with joy, maybe harmony in your relationships and friendships, success, meeting your material needs, etc., etc. And when we bless God, as that Psalm 103 example said, we are giving something to God. We're bestowing honor upon God and praising God when we bless him. We're praising his name. We're praising his name. We're adoring him. So to bless the people, Aaron is told to say, "The Lord bless you and keep you." And the phrase "keep you" means to guard. It means to guard, or to protect. May the Lord give you what you need and protect you. The Lord keep you. The Lord guard you. It's not the priests, not the Levites who are keeping you or protecting you. The Lord, Yahweh, keep you and protect you. As you move forward, as you travel through the wilderness, as you go through difficult times in your life, know that the Lord, it is the Lord who will bless you and provide for you with gifts of grace. Also know that it is the Lord God who protects you, who guards you, who keeps you safe. The Lord bless you and keep you. So next, the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. This is a blessing of love and grace toward God's people, and they'll need it. They'll need it. The first few chapters of Numbers are the people being organized into a fighting force. This is the mustering of the troops as they are to head out to the land of Canaan. And it was only supposed to last 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Of course, perhaps maybe they didn't know that. But you mean they couldn't handle 2 weeks of manna? After leaving Egypt, witnessing the 10 plagues on the Egyptians and Pharaoh's household, they couldn't trust God to lead them victoriously into the promised land. But apparently that was the case, because what should have been a 2 week journey ended up being 40 years, and a generation had to die away. Instead of trusting God, they believed the bad reports that came back from the spies in the land, of these great big soldiers in the land, and they allowed fear to control them, their motion of fear to control their decision-making instead of their trust in God. So the blessing they need from the Lord is that the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. Now, what's the shining face of the Lord have to do with this? Of course, it's symbolic of God's favor. God's presence, his grace, his love, his support. The Lord be present with you and shine his face of approval over you, so that when you go with the confidence of God's love for you, God's acceptance of you. You go in the confidence to knowing that God is with you and not against you. God is for you and not against you. Know that God loves you and he knows you each by name. That's how precious you are to God. As you travel into the wilderness, into the deserts of life, know that God goes with you and will be your light, no matter how dark life becomes or the circumstances become in life. When all other lights go out, the Lord God shine on you and be gracious to you. We need God's blessing of light, enlightenment, his truth, his grace, his hope. We don't need the pastor's or the priest's blessing in the end. We need God's blessing. So the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. Deal with you in gracious ways, because we know you're going to make mistakes. And we know that you're going to sin and you're going to fall. May God deal with you in gracious ways, no matter who you are, no matter where you've been or what sins that you've committed or where you're going in the future. May the Lord shine his face of approval over you. And thirdly, the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The blessing began, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord provide for your earthly material needs with concrete gifts along with protection and safety. And then the second part of the blessing, the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. That is, may God favor you with his presence, his grace, and deal with you mercifully. May the shining light of God give you hope in the darkest of days that you experience in life. And thirdly, the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. You can well imagine that the Lord turning his face away from you cannot be a good thing. And to me, this part of the blessing is more than just the general presence of God. God's with you. But it's an intensification of the presence of God. More than just God is generally with you, his face is toward you, turning his face toward you. God is paying attention to you. He knows you by name. He's watching and he cares. Think of a baby or a small child who's trying to talk to you, and you're sitting on the couch just looking at your phone and saying, yes, dear, or watching TV and just kind of nodding your head. Well, the child knows that you're not paying attention to him, right? And so sometimes, I've seen this on a lot of children, they grab your face, turn it toward them and say, no, really listen to me, you know. Pay attention to me and lock eyes. Let's talk here. I'm trying to tell you something. and they know that you're not really listening. So we're blessed when God turns his face toward us because we know he's really listening. He's really paying attention to us. So Israel, as you line up for battle formations, as you commit your way to the Lord, as you begin to march toward Canaan, as you walk through this scary wilderness with these weird animals and snakes and scorpions, a land with little food or water, may the Lord God turn his face toward you and listen to you, see you no matter what you're going through. May he know you and your experience right now. And may he give you peace. A little word in English, peace. It's the Hebrew word shalom here, which means more than just an absence of warfare or conflict. It's harmony. It's having every aspect of your life sort of in balance, in harmony. A overall sense of well-being in life, shalom. May God pay attention to you, turn his face toward you, and give you that kind of peace. And then verse 27, so they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. As you are blessed, you will know that you belong to the Lord, body and soul, the Lord God of heaven and earth, Yahweh. You belong to God, and he will bless you. He will be with you. He will care for you. So again, as we begin the book of Numbers, the Israelites are about to leave Mount Sinai, where they've been camped out for about a year, and they're heading out to Paran, or the plains of Moab, where they're camping out just outside of the promised land, and where the spies will go into the land. It's not supposed to be a long journey, but it'll be a difficult one. There is a promised future hope, but that hope is something that needs to be grasped, needs to be fought for. Hardships need to be endured. The people and their leaders will be tested like they've never been tested before. They've made a covenant with God there at the foot of Mount Sinai. God said that he would be their God if they would obey him and follow his ways. Everyone said that they would do it. Everyone said, we will do what the Lord God says. Well, what happens when the nerves get frayed, the anxieties rise up? What happens when the tummies become empty, the tongues dry out, when they have to face the enemy for the first time? They're being tested, just as we often are tested by our circumstances, by life, by the wildernesses, by the deserts that we go through. They need God's blessing. We need God's blessing, don't we? We need God's blessing. And all of our anxieties and all of our differences and divisions in the world, in our country, the turbulence in our culture. When was the last time that you experienced, truly experienced shalom, where every aspect of your life was in harmony and in peace? Maybe it's been years you've experienced God's shalom. When I scan the book of Numbers, though, I'm encouraged because as rebellious, as forgetful, as fearful, divided, and obstinate the Israelites were, just like all of us, God continues to remain faithful. God continues to chase after them. God continues to keep his promises, his part of the covenant. And even when his people failed and rejected the promise and they couldn't keep God's law, God sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to keep the law perfectly for us. Jesus, who taught his disciples to pray, Father, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our transgressions. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. Father, bless us and keep us. Shine your face upon us. Deal graciously with us. Turn your face toward us and give us peace. Jesus, who after the resurrection began many of his conversations with the disciples with that word, peace, shalom. Jesus, who said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. The Lord blesses us with protection, with provision, with grace, forgiveness, peace. I pray that we all would live faithfully, joyfully, expectantly in God's peace, confidently knowing that we belong to him through his Son, Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Lord God, Yahweh, thank you for blessing us. being with us even when we walk through the wilderness of life. Lord, we've stumbled. We've fallen many times. We've made mistakes for which we are ashamed. We have openly rebelled against your revealed will found in the Bible. Forgive us, Lord. Have mercy on us. Restore us that we would once again walk in your light and grace. As we come to the table today, may we celebrate the fact that you never give up on us, but you even gave your one and only Son to die in our place on the cross. Help us to remember, to believe, and to live in that grace and freedom. Shine upon us today, Lord. And may you be glorified and praised in all that we do. Amen.